This is Scott Becker with the Becker Group Women's Leadership Podcast, a part of the Scott Becker Business Podcast Series. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Libby Motto. Libby's had a great sales career. She's a great leader and driver. We're going to talk to her today about leadership and sales leadership and more. Libby, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
I'm happy to do so, and I thank you, Scott, for this opportunity. I've had 20 plus years in healthcare in a variety of different sectors. I like to think of myself more or less as an unofficial sales trainer, meaning if I have a big T in my title or a little T, I really enjoy the training aspect. And so to that end, whether or not my role really was a sales trainer over the years, I found myself really wanting to engage my colleagues and of course sales managers, finding mentors to help us all really develop the goals that we wanted to achieve for the organization, and naturally as a part of that, drive productivity and the numbers up for whatever company I'm working with. So I appreciate this opportunity to speak about this today.
Well, thank you. And let me ask you this sort of first question. Is the ability to be a great salesperson, is that innate or can it be trained?
It's a great question. I think there's always been sort of this feeling that a sales rep is born, not made. I also think that quite a few of the basic skills can be taught if they are shown a really good example of something. So if you think through sort of what occurs on a daily basis with a sales rep, sort of the common issue that we've all confronted before is where we're asked a question where we don't know the answer. And so a classic sales rep to that has been trained and coached and mentored to say, don't make it up. Make sure you actually either don't know the answer or acknowledge that you don't know the answer. I think on the other hand, if you're looking towards a leadership role and people who are actual sales leaders, they're going to take a different slant on that. What they'll say is, I don't know the answer yet. And the yet becomes the quintessential part that separates that rep from that leader. And I think that's the part that leaders can share with the reps. This is how you engage your client more meaningfully. If you recognize they've asked the question because they want the answer and they want you to lean into it. So I do think parts of that can actually be trained if they just know that's what actually the surgeon or the physician or the C-suite executive is looking for, someone who's willing to go down the road of something they don't know, and how are they going to make my understanding of whatever it is you're selling more comprehensive based on what information you bring to me. So I think that part can be trained. The sales rep just has to recognize that I don't know is really coming up short of what a sales leader would do in that same situation.
And talk a little about sales training. What are the basics of sales training? What does a sales training regimen or program look like? How do you train people to become better salespeople?
Well, that's a multifaceted question. There's obviously in a ton of adult learning principles that come into play, the recognition that if you don't make training material relevant to the audience, if you don't make it tangible and relatable almost immediately, that you can lose them. I think the other thing to really know about sales training is that we're all coming to a training, whether it's a seminar or a workshop or a meeting, with a certain amount of experience and knowledge that we all have that are unique to each of us. So a really good trainer is going to recognize, hey, I may only have part of the story here, and the person who's been doing this for 20 years really may have more information that needs to be part of the discussion. So rather than trying to direct the team into always getting to the answer that I'm wanting them to have, recognizing that a lot of times you can include those in the room that are just as experienced, if not more so, in sort of crafting an answer that we all can agree and get on board with. So I think that's a quintessential part of training that I think a lot of trainers really, really seek to do in these sessions.
As the world's moved virtual, how is that adjusted in terms of sales training? Is it more and more sales training by Zoom and so forth? Is that the world that we're all moving towards anyway, so people better learn to sell virtually?
I think, quite frankly, going to a virtual training platform makes a lot of sense. There are adjustments that you have to make. You have to get used to different camera angles and so forth, and looking at yourself, which you've never probably had to do before in a training session. But I certainly recognize that Zoom and GoToMeeting and those other formats can be very helpful. The one caveat to that is to recognize that there's really, and this is true anyway in training, there's probably a finite number that's probably a good number to have on the call. Otherwise, you can lose the call with too many tangents of other things that may come up during the course of the conversation. And recognizing you may have to have a few more follow-up training sessions that, again, are focused on maybe two or three people who are on the call who are seeking additional information or perhaps a review of some of the material. So I think virtual actually lends itself very well to training in a more intimate way than you can sometimes do at a national meeting when you have hundreds of people to train at once. I think there's just adjustments that have to be made in order to make it as impactful.
And what about sales things that salespeople shouldn't do? Can you give us a couple examples of things you see salespeople do and you think, oh my goodness, I have to train them out of that behavior right now?
Well, let's go back to the example that I first gave you of where the surgeon or the physician has asked a question of a sales rep and they don't know the answer. When they go get that answer and the surgeon comes back and says, did you get my information? I almost cringe when they go, yes, I sure did. Here it is. Because what they're skipping and what they've assumed in that step is that there isn't anything else that that surgeon or physician may want to know. So the better way to answer something like that is to say, I think I have the information you're seeking. I'd like for you to take a look at what I've brought to you and see if this answers your question. By doing that, you've left the door open. You already know there's a chance that this isn't enough information. So yes, definitely the person that jumps quick to say, oh, got your problem figured out, is the person who, again, is shortchanging themselves and really the company on the fact that most companies have tons of other experts that can weigh in on a question that comes from a client, but they're not given the opportunity to do so because the rep is so quickly trying to dismiss it. So that's likely my biggest pet peeve when it comes to wanting to sort of train them away from a certain type of behavior.
Thank you. There are some famous movies that depict salespeople. There's the Glengarry Glen Ross. There's Death of a Salesman. The famous situation in Glengarry Glen Ross is, you know, the winning salesman gets a big promotion, the medium one gets steak knives, and the last one gets fired. Is that still how people deal with sales teams today? How do people rank sales team? And do you have to manage out your salespeople that don't sell, that don't succeed at it? How do people manage sales teams today?
So I think it's much more complicated than I think any set of numbers could demonstrate. I mean, I think we all understand, especially this year, that there were causes that were affecting numbers that were way outside anyone's control. So the idea that any one salesperson is solely responsible for the numbers they're generating is really an idea of the past. I go to back to how you differentiate a sales rep from a sales leader, and there's just more to sales than just putting up numbers. That's an aspect of it. But the sales leaders are the ones who can still make the very best of a very, very challenging time, which again, we've all been through over the last several months. So having the insight to recognize there's other aspects of somebody's sales ability beyond how many times they've smashed their quota is something that most good sales managers know to do. They know to say, these are the people who also are excellent brand ambassadors, or they really understand what the corporate values are, and they demonstrate that integrity. And that's important not only from the management perspective, so that person doesn't necessarily get fired if the numbers didn't come out, but it's also great for upper management because they've got to think about, well, who are our leaders of tomorrow? And it used to be you always pulled your best sales reps and made them VP of sales. And if they weren't a good manager of people, that wasn't a good move. Leave them in sales, let them crush it in sales, but you're pulling your sales leaders out to do that management position, whether it's a SVP or higher up. So again, I think managers are becoming more in tune with the other metrics that are equally important to the numbers.
Thank you. A couple more questions. Cold calling. Is there still a place for cold calling in today's world of sales?
Sure there is. I mean, cold calling is sort of the bane of most people's existence, but we've all been in situations where we've had to sort of create a conversation. If you've ever been to a cocktail party with a spouse and had to sort of start from scratch, we've all been there. The trick with a cold call is to recognize that they were caught off guard. They were not anticipating your call. So to make that less of an issue, coming up with an approach that allows them to sort of warm up to the fact that you're trying to get their attention and perhaps coming in with a different take. So one of my strategies for cold calling is actually to find an ally, either somebody inside the organization or someone who is connected with someone inside the organization. This is where like a LinkedIn can be really helpful, and using them to help you kind of understand what is the tempo of someone's day inside this organization? Is there an appropriate time? Could we figure out a time where I might snag 5 minutes of them just to introduce myself and to recognize that it takes baby steps? Really, unless you're selling Girl Scout cookies, you don't always succeed on your first try. So recognizing that it doesn't happen immediately and allowing that relationship to develop from something that feels very awkward to something that feels very natural.
Well, another question for you that seems to be pertinent today. As a salesperson, politics and sales, is politics something that a salesperson just completely stay away from in today's world where people are so, you know, hard charged and wired towards one candidate or another, one side or the other? Is the best advice for a salesperson to basically stay away from political conversations?
Well, if I'm in most of the circumstances where I find myself in, I'm happy to engage in a political discussion. What I'm not trying to do, of course, is convince them that I'm right and they're wrong. So if my client brings up politics, I'm happy to engage in sort of casual banter, no different than I might do if it's a sports team or some other subject that's of interest to them. What I'm not going to try to do in that moment is convince them that their position is crazy and my position is the only one that makes sense. I come across as being very amenable to whatever their position is, because quite frankly, and we all know this, in constructive dialogue, you often take away points that you go, huh, I hadn't looked at it that way. That's an interesting take on that. And if that's the best answer you can give, it works most of the time. People simply want you to somewhat agree with their point and they'll usually let it go. But I'm not one to shy away from a political discussion, but I do not make it a mission to convince them that I have all the answers on that.
Well, fantastic. What a great career and what great thoughts you have on this area. We've covered a bunch of subjects, whether politics, cold call, sales training, is sales innate or can it be taught and trained and more. Libby, I want to thank you so much for joining us today on the Beck Group Women's Leadership Podcast. What a terrific guest you were. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Scott. It was a pleasure.